Well, good morning, everyone. Let's all stand, if it's convenient for you, as we start our worship service this morning. God so loved.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find His mercy, come to the table He will satisfy. Of His goodness, find out you're looking
for God so loved,
for God so loved the world that He gave us, His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that He gave us, His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise
morning, Osage. Ain't God good? All the time. I want to welcome everybody here to Osage this morning. I'm glad you could be here to worship with us. Got a lot of announcements this week, so pay attention. All right. We're going to continue to collect for the Lottie Moon today. And then also today, children's play practice. I'm guessing that's what you're here for. So just come on up here. Make sure I get this right.
Okay, today at 3 o'clock, we will have our children's play practice. And then afterwards, we're going to try on everybody's costume to make sure everybody has one. And we also still need cornbread and potatoes for our meal after our play next week at 6. If you can sign up back in the back, Mary has a sign-up sheet back there. And I also need your ornaments. If I gave your family an ornament, I need those back at least by next Sunday morning. You can put them on Miss Betty's desk over here. Thank you.
All right. And also today, the choir will practice from 3 to 5.
It just changed minutes ago. 3:30 to 5:30. The reason was...
I don't know why I get this.
you know, I
And then next Saturday from...
1 to 3.
I had that one right. Okay. So if you're involved in that, don't forget that. And this afternoon, the evening service, we'll have our business meeting. So plan on attending that. And then there's going to be some Christmas caroling, I guess, after the evening service. And Awana will meet in youth this Wednesday night. And then after that, the Wednesday night of the 22nd and 29th, we will not have Awana or youth. So remember that and spend time with your family. So any other announcements? Nope. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we could come into your house and, Lord, just celebrating this time of your birth, Lord, that we get prepared to celebrate Christmas and remember the true meaning of Christmas. Lord, we just thank you, we love you, we praise you. Lord, we just want to lift those up that may be sick in our congregation and could not be here, all the things going on. And Lord, just lift up each one of them, Lord, but we just turn this time over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, it's convenient for you. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing some Christmas hymns as we get ready for Christmas in a couple of weeks. Man, where's this time when? All right, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive. Thank you.
Became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. Jesus Messiah.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Are you hurt and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms. Tell the world of the reasons you found.
you're involved in children's church, we're going to allow you to take charge of those that group right now. Early every morning, I get a scripture passage on my phone from Bruce Medley. And this morning was a little bit different. And so I want to read you this, and he has asked for prayer for. As the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Church leaders, I rarely send personal requests, but I have a request of the church body this morning. The family asks for specific prayer that Hayden will have enough strength to breathe on his own, as the text is only sent to church leaders on Sunday morning. Please lead your body in this request. Thank you. Tim, I'm going to ask you to come up and speak to this. Tim is very familiar with Hayden's situation. The accident happened there where Tim works. And also to lead us in a word of prayer. And when we pray, I'd like for us to stand and hold hands.
Yeah, so Wednesday morning this last week, I got a call in my office that a young man had fell through the roof of one of our buildings, one of our larger buildings, and he fell about 40 feet. When I got there, he was face down, not responsive. There was a large puddle of blood, and he finally, I saw him breathing, and of course, we had already called emergency responders, and they were on the way. But his name is Hayden Vanderpool. It was a unfortunate circumstance, an accident, and he made a choice that ended in this result. And anyway, regardless, we got to him and started praying with him, and they flew him to Cox in Springfield, where they performed a surgery that would render him paralyzed for the rest of his life. He's 20 years old, I believe 20 or 21 years old. So this family is in much need of prayer, and he's still not in the clear. I mean, he's still on life support right now, helping him breathe. So this morning, to Bruce's request, I believe in what Scripture says, that the body of Christ is the church, and that we can come together in uniform, in unison, in one body, and lift up our request and make our request known to God, and He hears and answers prayer. I still believe that. And so I just ask you to stand with me as we do that. And if you want to hold hands and join hands, we are one body. I'm going to just pray for Hayden and his family. Father God, I'm just so grateful that I have my health, and that we take that for granted all too often. Life is precious. It's a gift. Every day is a gift, and we take it for granted on a regular basis. And God, here we have this family who is seeing this, and they're on the brink of life and death and making these choices that are life and death. And God, I just I pray for the surgeons, the doctors, all who are involved. Pray for Hayden's mother especially, and what she's dealing with and what she's going through. Pray for Hayden himself as they make these decisions. And God, specifically this morning, specifically, we ask for you to give him strength. We ask for you to heal him and give him strength to where he can breathe on his own, Lord, and that the doctors and surgeons would be guided as they lead him through this process, Lord. lift up his entire family. And God, as a church, we are making this request known to you. We love you and we praise you, Lord. You answer prayer and you hear our prayer. It's in Christ's name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Tim. We've got lots going on in the next couple of weeks, so I hope that you'll be a part of that. We're going to have a business meeting tonight, but we're going to eat together, and the Boldings are bringing us something to eat. It's going to be good, right? So, it's what? Pizza? That's pretty good. If you can't have roast and potatoes, this pizza fill in good. Yeah, the same thing. And then after we have our business session, I don't know of anything that's pressing. I think it'll be relatively short. Donna Newberry has an announcement she's going to make. No, she said I was going to make. Anyway, we're going to go caroling. So you come prepared for that. Bring a good warm coat and your Christmas caroling voice. And we've got a couple of stops that we're going to make for sure. We'll do that right after we have business session. So I hope you'll come be a part of that. Next Sunday, we're going to have a couple of real treats. Our adult choir will be bringing Christmas songs to us. Sunday night, the children's Christmas program, and we're going to eat again. We're Baptist. We're two or three are gathered together, we always eat, don't we? And so we're going to have beans and potatoes. That's going to be a good old country meal. That's how I was raised. I didn't know there was anything else. I told someone I thought my name was Go Get Wood until I was 6 years old, and I didn't know there was anything else to eat but potatoes and beans. That kept us going. And the following Sunday, I'm going to preach a Christmas message. It'll be the day after Christmas, but it'll be the Christmas message. And then that Sunday night, we're going to let you have off. And if you hadn't had all your Christmas get together with your family, you'll be able to do that. I want to give us a little review this morning to bring us up to speed of where we're at in the book of Acts as we're traveling through this fantastic story of the birth of the church and all the things that take place, that God gave us His Word, the Bible, that is the inspired, infallible truth that we can follow and we can trust. So the last time I did a little review, it was up through chapter 9, so I'm going to start with chapter 10 today in looking at the things that we've learned through from 10 through 14. Cornelius sends for Peter in chapter 10. Peter sees the great sheet. You remember that story? That changed everything in church history, that sheet coming down with all those different animals on it. And God instructed Peter to kill and eat. Peter said, I've never done anything like that. I've always followed the Jewish tradition of food. And God said, don't call anything unclean that I've cleansed. And so that opened the door for catfish and all those other things that we eat. And so it opens the door to the Gentiles for the church. So Gentiles are converted and receive the Holy Spirit in the 10th chapter. In the 11th chapter, Peter defends his ministry to the Gentiles because he has folks that are against that. Matter of fact, I wanted to read a couple of verses from chapter 11. Verse 2 says, "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." That is, they argued with him, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them." Verse 4, "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them," saying, then he tells the story. In verse 15, he says, "And as I began to speak," the Holy Spirit talking about as he began to speak to the Gentiles, here he says, "As I began to speak to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." And then the church at Antioch hears the gospel, and a church is started. Gentile church is started. In chapter 12, Herod kills James. You remember this story? Peter is miraculously released from prison. God just does a fantastic work. Several times he opens the prison doors in the book of Acts. Wasn't just in Philippi, but it was earlier on than this. They were in prison. God opens the doors, and he is still, of course, able to do that. Herod, the one who kills James, gives a speech, and people say, "Why, that sounds like the voice of a god." And he refused to give God the glory, and the Bible says that he died a horrible death. In chapter 13, Barnabas and Saul are sent out from Antioch. It is in this chapter that the sermon Paul preaches in the synagogue is recorded, and several of those sermons, and it would do us good to go back and read those sermons that Paul and Peter preached. It's in this chapter, the 13th verse, that John Mark leaves them. And we hear quite a bit about that. Matter of fact, it just changes the way that we look at things, in that here was this mighty man of God, and he's with Barnabas, and he's with Paul. But when you start reading that record, I mean, they're either getting stoned or beat or thrown into jail. And so John Mark, he kind of eases back to Jerusalem. And, of course, we know that later on, Barnabas takes him with him, and that's the reason we hear so much about Silas in the New Testament, that Paul takes Silas with him. But then later on, Paul sends for him, and he says he's going to be of use for us. Gives us a good indication that God gives us a lot more than one chance. He gives us a lot of opportunities to get straightened up and go on. We can stumble. We can make mistakes. And yet the Lord forgives us, brings us back to a place of service. And doesn't mean that we lose our salvation or anything like that, but he brings us back to a place of service. It's in this chapter 14. They preach and they flee all at the same time. When you read that story, there's sometimes that we need to flee. And so there's sometimes they stood fast, sometimes they fled. It's like the two little boys that the bear got after. One of them said, "Let's stop and pray." And the other one said, "Let's run and pray." So I think that's what they were doing. They were running and praying. They were running and preaching at times. The lame man's heel. The group first want to worship them as a god, and then they end up stoning them. Stone Paul, they thought, to death. Then they come back in chapter 14, and they give a report on their first missionary journey. And so we end up in chapter 15 and verse 1. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and commanded them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." You may be seated. It seems a small matter to us that the door to the Gentiles was opened up. Here we are 2,000 years after the beginning of the church, and we know that whoever puts their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, no matter what color they are, no matter what they come from, their parentage doesn't make any difference at all. Whoever puts their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus will be saved. So God opens the door of faith to the Gentiles. We back up just a little bit to chapter 14. Look at verse 26 in this chapter. "And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And so in verse 1 of chapter 15, we see this debate that is taking place. And the Bible tells us that certain men from Judea, they were Pharisees, real a sect that prided themselves on keeping the law of Moses. So what was the dispute about? In short, it was Jesus plus something else for salvation. And we know from where we stand at today, it's Jesus plus nothing for salvation. And so in verse 1, the Pharisees were teaching that except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So Paul, in chapter 13, look at verse 39, he also makes the case true that it is by faith and it is not by works of the law or being circumcised. In verse 39, and by him all that believe are, and here's our word that we worked on last Sunday night, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Anytime that people are being saved and the kingdom is growing, Satan will create a situation to split the church, to divide the church, to keep the gospel from going out. And we are to take a firm stand, but it's not to allow anything to go, just to try to keep down the trouble. Paul and Barnabas show the hearts of a true shepherd. They confronted and disputed with those who would promote false doctrine in the church. Let's look at what the Lord said about that in chapter 7 of Matthew. Look down at verse 15. When you study the book of Acts and you read about what, read Paul and Barnabas, Silas and Timothy, and how they responded to things, it took a lot of grit. It would have been easier to just said, well, let's just go along and get along. Let's not cause any confusion here. But we know that the Bible teaches different from that. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, look at verse 15. This is the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition, the words of Jesus are in red. And so this is the teaching of our Lord. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. There's not any false prophet that's going to show up in the church that has a button pinned to his coat that says false prophet. It just does not happen that way. Most of the time, it will be someone with a very charismatic personality, a winsome personality that will draw people to them. Does that scare you? It ought to. It scares me. Because most of the time, that's how false doctrines get started in churches. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? If I were to ask you what the fruit of the Spirit is, and the Spirit's living in us, it produces the fruit of the Spirit, love and peace and all those other things. I won't try to name those. You could beat me at that. But there's another fruit also in the life of a Christian. So the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. The Christian produces fruit. What is the fruit of a Christian? Anybody know? What's other Christians? It's other Christians. Apple tree produces apples. A peach tree produces peaches. Pecan tree, pecans. And on and on and on. And Christians produce other Christians. And here the Bible says we know them by their fruit. Twofold. The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the Christian. They're producing the fruit of the Spirit. They're producing harmony and peace and love, joy, long-suffering. All those things are part of the fruit of the Christian, but also other Christians taking other people with us. In Acts, Acts the 20th chapter, Paul talks about these false prophets. Look with me at Acts 20 and verse 28. Here's a warning. Take heed, Paul says. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over thee which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he puts out a great warning. Salvation by grace alone. But salvation by grace alone does not apply that anything goes. I think the mission of the church is fourfold. And I want us to look at that in closing today. First of all, the mission of the church is to evangelize the world. Look with you at Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. You know this, but it'd do us good to read it again. This is a command of our Savior in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, he gives the commission to the church. Jesus' mission, our commission, someone has said. And then he says, go. You know, it's impossible to guide something that's not going. to give direction to something that is not going. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So what are we to teach them? Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The church has been given the job to tell others about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I had a college professor that said that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. If we've been saved, we can tell somebody else how to be saved. We can follow that. If you've not been saved, it'd be impossible for you to share the gospel. I can't imagine. Trying to share something that we had not experienced ourselves. The second job of the church is to guard the truth. Look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and look at verse 1. As Paul's writing this letter to the young preacher Timothy, he says to them, "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We are to guard the truth. Then we are to edify the saints. What does that mean? We don't use that word too often. But in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, he talks about the different officers of the church. And he talks about the job of the church. And in verse 11 he says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And what's the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of those officers of the church? And in verse 12 he says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the building up of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine that by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Building up the body, encouraging the body, coming along beside the body, and growing them in the truth. And then finally, I don't like this part, but the Lord has given us as the church the responsibility of disciplining the unruly. In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, he talks about this. I think that there was some, they were doing some awful stuff in the church at Corinth. It was, if you wanted an example of how to do it wrong, I think that you could follow the church of Corinth. They did about everything wrong. There was a man in the church that was living with his father's wife. We take that to be his stepmother. But Paul writes a letter in 1 Corinthians and says that there's things going on in the church, not even going on out in the world. So you need to correct that. Those kind of things are not to go on in the church. And so when he writes his second letter, obviously that had been corrected. And he says, when someone repents, then receive them back into the body. And so here in chapter 13, verse 1, he says, this is the third time I am coming to you, and the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which herefore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do not evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. This also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And then he goes on to say, greet one another with a holy kiss. The church is to be kept holy. There are things that the church has to stand up against, that false teaching for one, but those things which are wrong, those things that do not bring honor to the Lord. And when the members are involved in that, then the members have to be confronted. And that is, to me, one of the hardest things in the church. But we have come to this place where folks do not feel like that's important any longer. Sometimes because the leadership of the church is involved in those things that are wrong. Let's stand together.